Revelation 17. Revelation 17. You ever wonder why people just don't see what you see when they read the Bible? You ever wonder why they want to argue and fuss and fight about there is no rapture, or it's a pre, post, mid, whatever they want to argue about, whatever, and talk about, well, you know, Revelation's already in the past, that preterist stuff and all that, you know, it's already in the past. Well, that's craziness. But you ever wonder why? That's part of it. But you know what? The culprit here is Babylon. We're going to look at Babylon today, and we're going to dig into it a little deeper and look at Babylon, look at some things from the Word of God. Now, I'm not a Calvinist. God's not a Calvinist, and the devil's not a Calvinist. The Lord, myself, and the devil, we all agree that man has free will. And God woos men to Him through His love, and the devil through the pride of life, and lust of the flesh, the pride of the eyes, all those things. He woos people into His crowd to believe what He wants them to believe. Now, when we talk about the rapture, I believe me and the Lord are Calvinists. Amen. When He calls, you're leaving. Amen. He's going to make you go. We joke around about practicing jumping and all that stuff, but you might be sound asleep, but you're leaving. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I think we'll be singing maybe that last song, Praise the Lord, and be out of here. But I want to look at today at the reason why I believe that things are so seemingly confusing to a lot of folks and a lot of quote-unquote church folks. Revelation chapter 17, beginning in verse number 1, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So it carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. Seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of all, he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their heart to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And here we are looking at a passage talking about Babylon. And you have to admit, when the Bible talks about Babylon, it can get somewhat confusing. I want to look at about seven or eight things about her. And the first thing is her reality. Her reality. Babylon, for our purposes, has a dual identity. Babylon, we can look in the Old Testament and see that place, a physical place, where Israel went into bondage when they rejected God's word and refused to be obedient to God's truth. They rejected truth and refused obedience and ended up in Babylonian captivity. And we understand that, and we look at that, and every time we hear the word Babylon, we relate it to that, relate it to that city. If we're not careful, we'll put it in that little box and say that's what it's talking about every time it talks about Babylon. But Babylon is bigger than a city. Babylon is a spiritual religious system. And people today, when they reject the truth and refuse to be obedient to God's words, they end up in bondage to this spiritual Babylon. And that's the reason when you're talking to people and you say, whoo, looking forward to getting out of here, amen. Even so come Lord Jesus. And they go, well, there is no rapture in the Bible. Or they say, well, you're going through the tribulation first. I'm post-trib, you're pre-trib, you're wrong. And the reason is, spiritual Babylon has infected and infested their minds with the unbelief of sound doctrine, and they have refused the truth and are not obedient to the words of God. They want to make up their own religion. They want to see things, they want to see it, and they want to take man's word for it over God's. And like mentioned earlier, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They don't rightly divide because they would rather take the opinion of man, of church tradition, the opinion of a religious system than they would the words of God. We've talked about that in Sunday school. We talked about ministry and giving. And a lot of people just think ministry is simply showing up to church and being fed what you're supposed to believe by a man. Or in some cases, a woman, amen, whatever church it is. But the truth is, the ministry is like putting gas in your car. You're supposed to do some work with it, amen. You go to the gas station, here you are at church at the gas station. Don't give any hot air jokes, amen. But you go to church at the gas station, you get gas in your tank, you're supposed to put work out from that fuel, amen. Prayer, witnessing, prayer and fasting, amen? Getting a hold of the Lord. Giving to Him. Because we've already received. We love Him because He first loved us. But the reality is, that biblically, Babylon is not just a city, it's a spiritual system. Her reality is a dual identity. Look at verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. We see her reality as a dual identity, and now we see her reach. You see what it says? The abominations of the earth. Her reach, she has tentacles into every part of the world. She's infected, infested, and infiltrated everywhere. Every nation, every state, every county, every city, every township, Babylon has tentacles everywhere. Babylon is simply a spiritual system that opposes the truth. It's like rat poison. There's a little bit of truth in it, a little bit of poison in it, and people are eating it up. Her reach, the abominations of the earth, worldwide, false religion. True religion and undefiled, God defines that. False religion is everywhere. There's very little true religion. Well, I'm not religious, I am saved, amen. Her reality, dual identity, her reach, tentacles into everywhere. And her tentacles have not only reached every city and every township, but in most churches. People don't come into this world and from the time they're able to walk and talk decide they're going to have a church one day with rainbow flags. It's a gradual progression away from truth. It's a rejection of truth. It's a rejection of God's words. It's a rejection of sound doctrine. And then eventually it ends up being a mess. Nothing but a mess. Her reach is everywhere. Look at verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration her relentlessness. Her relentlessness. Look at chapter 18 real quick. Keep your spot there in 17. Look at chapter 18, verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. We see her relentlessness. She killed the prophets. She killed the apostles. Over here in verse number 6, it says she killed the saints. She killed the martyrs. She couldn't take their soul, but she could get rid of their testimony. By taking them, matter of fact, by getting rid of their long-term testimony, many of them had the greatest testimony ever by standing and praising God as they burn in flames and standing and praising God. They stand a chopping block ready for their head to be chopped off or whatever it was, refusing to reject Jesus Christ and spending years and years in prison until they finally passed to be with the Lord. But she's relentless. She didn't give up with the prophets. She didn't give up with the apostles. She didn't give up with the Old Testament saints. She didn't give up with the first church age saints. She's not giving up. She's ramping it up. Her tentacles, that false religion, that system is everywhere. Look at verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. We see her ride. Her ride. You know what carries that woman? What carries that system? It's the devil. Satan himself. That old serpent, the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, carries that religious system. And the devil's people are more busy carrying falsehoods than God's people are spreading the truth. Now I know we're carnally speaking outnumbered, but you and God are a majority, amen? You and the Holy Spirit and the Bible are a definite majority. But her ride is the devil. She's being carried by the devil. You say, well, men are just goofy. No, men are being used of the devil to spread falsehoods. Verse number 1, back in verse number 1, says, and there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Jump down to verse 15 for just a second. It says, and he saith unto me, the waters that thou sawest where the whore sitteth are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. Now we see her representative. She's carried by the devil and she's represented by a religious system that has its tentacles into everything. If you're sitting here today, and you are, amen, you have something in your mind and heart that has been placed there by Rome. Now, you might not believe it anymore, but you've heard it because of Rome. Amen. The man of sin that sits out there and wears a funny hat and an upside-down cross is all the pagan religion, all the pagan stuff with the sun goddess worship and the fish stuff and all the swinging, smoking fish livers trying to ward off evil spirit. If that thing worked, there wouldn't be a Catholic in the building. Amen. But that system is primarily being carried by the devil and a representative that is a man that claims to be Jesus Christ on this earth. And that's the truth. That is what he claims. That's what they've always claimed. Except Peter, the first pope, right? Wrong. He was not a pope. Amen. He had a mother-in-law, too. He got ripped off. If he didn't have a wife, he got a mother-in-law, he got ripped off. But her representative. So I don't know about you, but the spirit of compromise is real. The spirit of compromise is connected directly to Babylon. And you know it as well as I know it, probably, that there is a spirit that is working today in the church people, that's invasive and pervasive in the world, that just says quit. Give up. Change your boundaries. Change your beliefs. Be inclusive. Can't we just all get along? That's from the spirit of Babylon. That Babylonian spirit of compromise. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't preach the truth in love or any of that stuff. But I'm saying don't move the boundaries. When you know something's right biblically, don't change it for the flesh. The representative Rome. Look at verse 16. This is interesting to me. It all is, but this is especially something that really boggles my mind sometimes. But then when you practically apply it, you can understand it. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and she'll eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now that might be that right there might be a nuclear war turned on Rome at one time. But you know the interesting thing is her ride, the devil, her representative, Rome, her result. You know what her result is? Destruction. Destruction. The result of that whore spreading the tentacles of Babylonian system, Babylonian spiritual falsehood, is destruction. All around the world, it's destroying people's thought processes. It's destroying people's spirituality. It's destroying the churches. But ultimately, she's used and destroyed. The Bible says the whore is used and destroyed. What's a whore? She's used and destroyed. Amen. The devil's not using Rome because he loves it. He's not using the Catholic system because he loves it and cares about it. He's not using the false religions and the Protestant divisions or any of that, the denominations or anything, because he loves them. He's using them because he hates them and he wants to destroy them. And not only can he destroy them, he can destroy them and then he can use them to destroy others. He's a user. Christ is a giver. The Antichrist is a user. Christ came to minister. The Antichrist came to take, to seek and to destroy. The results, used and destroyed. Look at verse 17. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. We see the reinvention. The whore is destroyed, and that system is not just done away with, simply gone. The whore that carries that system is gone, and the devil unites all that to a unified worship of the beast. All those different things. You know, the devil doesn't care if you believe 25 different things about one subject. He just doesn't want you to believe the truth. If you look at the Lutherans, you look at the Catholics, you look at some of the Baptists, you look at some of the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Pentecostals and all the Church of God, the Assembly of God, and all the Jehovah's Witnesses, all that stuff. You look at all that stuff and what they believe. They're not unified, but they're doing what the devil wants them to do. He doesn't want unity in Christ. He wants division away from Christ. But all that stuff is going to be reinvented into one religion, to the worship of the beast. A unity to the worship of the beast. Full-blown devil worship. As an angel of light. Amen. He'll sit there and they'll think, there he is. There he is. He's going to bring all that stuff together, destroy all the separation and division, and unify for him to get the glory. The reinvention of that religion, that's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. Say, boy, the end of the church age, we're there. We're at the end of the church age, I believe that. Now, saying that, I don't know if it's a day or a year or 2 years, whatever, but I believe we're at the end of the church age. And I believe the Bible, and it says we're going to be caught up with Him in the air. We'll meet him in the air. Some glad morning, amen. Say, well, Babylon's ramping up. No, Babylon's getting ready to come to a close. The Babylonian spiritual system is going to come to a close, and it's going to be condensed and unified to the worship of the beast. And people are very easily going to do that because they've been gradually taking toward the devil, step by step by step. Church is full of lost folks on their way to hell, and if they died today, that's where they'd end up. But when they make it into the tribulation time, they're going to worship that beast. And you know what? They might even think, well, you know, I might try to figure this out and get right later, so I don't have to worry about it. You know what God will do? If they've already heard the truth and they reject it, He's going to send them strong delusion. They're going to worship that beast. Isn't that scary? You better be right with God. Amen. It's all about the blood of Jesus Christ. But the reinvention, she's destroyed. Babylon's been used up. The purpose of that system has been fulfilled. And it's all brought together to the culmination of the devil's reign. Unified beast worship. You know, the funny thing is, people worship all kinds of stuff. You know, lost people and atheists, they worship all kinds of stuff. But you notice there's no unity in it? You got people on there and they say, well, it's just cruel to eat animals while they're eating their cheeseburger. Can't believe you'd kill an animal. Because they never seen that one get slaughtered, so it didn't happen, amen. I can't believe you'd hunt. I can't believe you wouldn't. Amen. And all those people that save the animals, and the people that are on the same side of their loony liberalness, they want to get rid of the animals because they're destroying the planet. They want to put a muffler on your cow. A catalytic converter, amen, on your cow. The whole time they want to wipe out this. I don't know if y'all heard about the boxes of ticks and all that stuff. You know what I believe they're doing with that? I believe it's happening. I don't think all this is just a conspiracy. I think they're actually doing this. And I think they're doing it to kill the cattle and kill the deer and kill the stuff. So you'll have to go to the government, whatever government that is. If you're still here after the rapture, I hope and pray none of us are. If you're here today and you're not saved, you can get saved now. But you're going to have to go to the government. I got people, I tell people, well, I got stocked up. I got MREs. I got 22 shells. I got op 6. I got 30-30. I can hunt me a deer. The deer going to be dead. They're going to be dead. Say, so, well, Bill Gates has figured it all out. He's developed these ticks that can save the animals. And it's killing them like flies from what I hear. So how do you know? Well, I just believe about any of it now. Amen? Because almost anything's possible. You realize the wickedness of men. And they say, well, they got the tick that can give you a permanent lifetime meat allergies. Yeah, whatever. Ain't going to be no meat to be allergic to the way they're going. They want to process your food from a lab. They want to develop it and take a couple beakers of this and turn it into that and tell you it's something else. Ultimately, they want to invade your DNA. You know why? Because that's what they did in Genesis 6. They're looking for different ways to get there. Amen. I believe that. So, well, that's crazy. I know it's a crazy place, isn't it? But the reinvention, she's destroyed, that system is gone, and it's unified into one system to worship the devil. Look at chapter 19. I done gone and done it, didn't I? I talked about food, now y'all are at home at lunch already. No pink slime, though. I may eat some real beef. Chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. You know why I put that in there? Because man don't make war in righteousness and judge in righteousness. Man judges unrighteously and makes unrighteous war for unrighteous purposes. But he does it in righteousness. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood. My God as a man of war. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses clothed in fine linen. Praise the Lord. White and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sat on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And then we go into the 1,000-year reign. What am I saying? Babylon, her reality, a dual identity, a city, and a system. Her reach, all places. There's not a man that hasn't been touched with it, with the tentacles of Babylon and that spiritual system of perversion. Her relentlessness. She didn't stop the apostles or the prophets or the saints of the old or early church age. She's trying to distinguish the truth, trying to get rid of the truth. You know what she was doing when Jesus Christ was at Calvary? She thought she got rid of the truth. You know who was leading the Pharisees and the Sadducees? The Babylonian system. They had enough of that in them that they rejected the truth and said, crucify him, crucify him. She's relentless. She'll do anything to get rid of the truth. We see her ride. The devil's carrying that mess. Her representative, basically the primary representative is Rome, that's got its tentacles into everything. Her results, use and destroy, and she is eventually used and destroyed. Her reinvention, not as a whore, but culminating that religious system and all that work and years of deception into the unification of the worship of the beast. And now we see her real ending. Her real ending is the Battle of Armageddon. That system is done. The beast and the false prophet are cast in a lake of fire. The devil's bound. Here's what's interesting about this to me. He's bound for 1,000 years. When 1,000 years is up, he's loose for a season. And he's not loose to go back to Rome to start a religious program. He's loose to go directly, individually, as the devil to get people to turn against Jesus Christ and Jerusalem. The masks are off. The game's on. People are willing to worship, I mean, flat-out worship Satan at that point without any religious deception and go against Jerusalem and go against Jesus Christ. Why would that be? Because for 1,000 years, when perfect rule and reign exists, they don't want it. Without the influence and quote-unquote so-called excuses of the devil made me do it or the system made me do it, that'll all be about the flesh, and their flesh will well up with pride, and they won't want the authority of the Word of God, just like they don't want it now, and they will turn against Jesus Christ. They will stand with the devil against the truth. And her real ending is the Battle of Armageddon. The system's gone, and it's straight up devil and man. People think they worship the devil now. They have no idea what's going to happen when he's loose. I believe he's going to go directly to them kings. He's going to go directly to them nations. He's going to go directly to people, and they're going to say, yes, we'll follow you instead of him. We've had enough of him. He makes us feel bad about our sin. Amen. The real ending, Battle of Armageddon. and the ultimate ending. After the thousand-year reign, Battle of Gog and Magog, the devil and his people turn against Jerusalem, against Jesus Christ, and God the Father sends fire down from heaven and devours them. He said, I've had enough of what you've done to my son. I've had enough of you trampling the blood of my only begotten son. I've had enough of you rejecting truth. You've had every chance to do right. You've rejected it. You refused. And I'm done. And they're gone. New heaven, new earth, where sin's never been. Praise God. And the only reason we're getting into that is because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So when you're looking around and people are telling you, what's God's name? Jehovah. You know, those Jehovah's Witnesses always did. Sounds like they got an air compressor stuck in their armpit. You say, well, he's many names. Oh, he has one name. Or they say there's no Trinity because that would make many gods. The reason they don't see it is because they've been deceived by the Babylonian system. And they are so proud and so caught up in themselves and their own mental, quote-unquote, abilities and quote-unquote reasoning and quote-unquote wisdom that they cannot see. They refuse the truth. That's what the Bible says. Perilous times shall come. It talks about lovers of men, more than lovers of God. It talks about ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And it talks about them refusing. They are not willing to accept sound doctrine. It doesn't say they can't. They refuse to. You can show them, and I've been down that road a million times. How do I know I'm right about some things? Because of the opposition. I've told them and showed them the Bible, and you could show them in black and white, and every time you show a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or a Catholic, 99% of the time they say, that's not what that means. What's it really mean? Well, you have to go back to the church fathers. You have to go back to the originals. Pull out your copy of the originals and let's see it. Show me where I'm wrong with the originals. Show me what Moses wrote down. Show me what Noah wrote on the ark. Show me your originals. If they can produce 66 books of the originals and they can prove this book wrong, they might be able to sway me. But they don't have a chance. But when they say, well, the Trinity's of the devil, that's not made up. That's of the devil. That statement is of the devil. Oh, there's no rapture. You're going through, and we've replaced Israel. We are Israel. That's of the devil. We're grafted in. We're grafted into a system, and they say, well, we're all under the law, just like Abraham. Abraham was before the law. But all these things are going on because the Babylonian system is so invasive and pervasive. It's everywhere. I told somebody I was born again. Born again for Israel. Born again, not for you. Born again for Israel. You got to just stick with Paul. All you can believe is three verses out of Paul's writing. You can't believe anything else. No, born again is what Jesus Christ told a man. A man, he must be born again. A man. He was talking to an individual. But they've been hit with this Babylonian stuff to believe a lie. If they can get rid of born again, they can get rid of eternal security. You can't be born again and be unborn. The devil hates that. If the devil could get you unborn, he'd do it. Honestly, without the devil, if you get unborn, we'd do it on our own. But you can't be unborn. You're born again of incorruptible seed. You know what I have here? Incorruptible seed. If you've got an NIV, you've got corrupted seed. This is incorruptible. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm preaching to me now just in case you don't believe it. I believe it. But the real ending, the Battle of Armageddon, and the ultimate ending after the culmination of the worship of the beast, God the Father sends fire down and burns them up because of what they've done to the blood of His Son. They'll trample it. They'll reject it. And they'll say, if you just give us a sign, the devil gives them all kinds of signs, they accept it. Christ shows back, rules and reigns perfectly, they reject it. I just want to talk about that for a few minutes this morning. I got it off my chest. The thing is, when you're talking to people and they're trying to talk you out of what the Bible says, it's not them. I mean, they're a willing vessel, don't get me wrong. Like I said, the devil's not a Calvinist. He knows he can get their free will to twist, though. It's not them, it's the devil. It's a spiritual system. that they've allowed themselves to be deceived by? Hey, if you got it in the Bible and you understand it and it's right, it's right. If they're quoting somebody from the 6th century that you never heard of, or maybe you have but you've never read it, they're lying to you if it goes against this book. So, well, there's no rapture. I've got a writing from a guy from 259 B.C. or A.D., and it never mentions a rapture. Okay, there are other writings that do. You know what's always been the same? There's always been deceivers. There's always been the spirit of Antichrist. Paul was talking about it when he walked this earth way before 2-something A.D. A.D. He was talking about false brethren and people spreading false doctrine. Amen, he was. So when you listen to these folks and you're going back and forth, debating, hey, you're saved, you got a Bible, you believe it, you've got sound doctrine based on Scripture, you already won that debate, there ain't no sense wasting your time. There is a time. The Bible says answer a fool according to his folly, and then the Bible says answer not a fool according to his folly. You know what he's saying? You're going to have to have some spiritual discernment to know when to just walk away and say, yeah, you're on your own. Some people are foolish, but they'll listen. And after a while, you're casting your pearls before swine. Not that God can't use it and save them later anyway, but sometimes it's time to move on. You can't spend your whole entire ministry ministering to one person that's projecting the truth. Oh, preacher, you sound like you go where the fish are biting. Well, I mean, there are people looking for truth everywhere. Why get hung up on somebody that doesn't want it? I mean, pray for them. Talk to them again when you run into them. But why intentionally spend all that energy on somebody that's rejecting the truth? You've done your job. The Spirit of God says, go back, but you've done your job. The reality is the dual identity, and we look at it and we're thinking, oh, that Babylon, that city's going to... I don't believe there's going to be any city called Babylon eternally. I believe that's gone. But that system's gone way before that. That spiritual system is over. When the Antichrist uses the God, allows him, and puts in the hearts of those kings to destroy that whore, and the Antichrist accepts all that worship, he'll have his moment of quote-unquote glory. But then eternal fire for him. That's all I've got today. I just want to talk about that for a little bit because it gets discouraging. You think, how could somebody not see what I see when I read a verse or when I quote a verse? It's because Babylon has infected and infested their heart. They allowed their mind to go so far down the wrong path that their heart is now infected to the point that only God can fix it. And there's no winning those battles. Answer a fool according to his folly. Answer not a fool according to his folly. Try not to be discouraged when you're witnessing because these people are just caught in a system that they, through their pride and arrogance and self-conceit and deceit, they have put themselves in a situation where they have and will continue to reject the truth until they finally give in and submit to God. But that's what it is. It's not personal between you and them. It's between Jesus Christ and Antichrist. The Word and the Anti-Word. The Word of truth and the words of deceit. Oh, by the way, all these folks that want to talk about the Trinity, I'm going to throw this in. Well, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know what? Before Jesus Christ was on this earth, it wasn't God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It was God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Spirit. The Word became flesh. His only begotten Son. He birthed that Word in flesh. The Trinity, before Mary had delivered Jesus, before she was pregnant with Jesus, was the Word. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We talk about going around and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father and the Son, you name it, you're baptized in the name of God the Father and God the Son because of what He did on this earth. Before He hit this earth, He was God the Word. Amen. The Word became flesh. The Word became Son. Amen. There was no God the Son in Genesis 1. It was God the Word. Amen. Now, I don't think God is going to get upset with you if you say God the Son, God the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father at the beginning. But I'm telling you, they want to break it down to semantics and talk about the Son. They're rejecting the Word. They rejected the Word when the Father gave it. They rejected the Word when the Father sent Him. And they rejected the Word when the Father gave Him on Calvary. And they're still rejecting the Word today. Why? The Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, from the very beginning, as an opposition. The Antichrist hates Jesus Christ, hates you, hates this book, hates anything about truth. He's got people everywhere spewing out lies and deceit that actually think they're in truth because of their own pride. Until they humble themselves and ask God for truth, I don't think they're ever going to get it at this point. Once they've been down that road so far, they're going to have to come to a point of humility where they say, Lord, I don't know what to think anymore. Amen? Father, we love You and thank You for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank You for the truth. The Word became flesh, dwelled among us. We beheld His glory. Glory, the only begotten Father, the only Father full of grace and truth. Thank You for the opportunity to meet, talk, preach about You, warn about the enemy system. Understand, we've already won. We are victorious. We have victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. We are in Christ. Thank You for that. And Lord, bless those folks who have been witnessing to open their eyes and hearts to truth. Give them a humble heart, spirit, and mind that they would bow before You and ask You to clarify. Shine the light of truth in their hearts so they might be saved. Or they might be right on their doctrine if they are saved. Help us, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're looking for Your glorious appearing. In the meantime, strengthen us. And help us to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we thank You and praise You and give You all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.